Good evening.
Good evening.
There are some more copies of a handout that was given last week. It's simply those texts from Deuteronomy, and I emphasize them simply because maybe it's hard to put them together or think of where they are, and I just want to make it convenient. Now, this evening, if it works out, and even if it doesn't work out, I want to try something. And I may wander here in the congregational area. I want to get your thinking. I don't want to just tell you something. I want to hear your own thinking on things. And I want to compare two psalms, Psalm 37 and Psalm 119. And the reason I do that, chose them, is because there are some real similarities, but also differences. Psalm 37 wants the believer to rest in the Lord and not be so upset or troubled by bad things that are happening. Now, that's very much like what Psalm 119 is saying, but I want to hear what you think, what you hear, what you read in comparing the two psalms. I may have to spread the psalms out on the podium.
Did you like this? No.
Now, at first, let's think of the dangers that are spoken of. And let's be as specific as possible. And then the course of action to be taken. All right, I'll read a little bit of Psalm 37, and then I'll read a little bit of Psalm 119. See if we get anywhere. Psalm 37. I'm reading from the version that's in the pulpit. I'm in the pew, so if you're looking at the English Standard Version, that's it. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. And then you have the word in the next line, wrongdoers. And then in verse 7, the man who carries out evil devices. Then verse 9, evildoers. In verse 10, the wicked. And verse 12, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth against him. And then verse 14, the wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Now that's just a sample. Let me read now from Psalm 119, the section that begins with verse 57, the Haith section. Let's see, let's go down. I have to go to the Yod section. Verse 78, the insolent, let the insolent be put to shame. Then I have to go to the Nun section, verse 110. The wicked have laid a snare for me. Well, I'm not sure if you get any feeling yet. I'll give you an opportunity to say otherwise, but I'll proceed with the other thing I mentioned, specifying the course of action. Maybe that will be a little bit clearer or focused. Psalm 37 again, starting at verse 1. Fret not. And verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 5, trust in him. Verse 7, fret not yourself. Refrain from anger, verse 8. Well, the psalm begins with more imperatives than it closes with. But do you have any impressions? Maybe I should just give you a start here. My impression, you can interrupt before I go further. My impression is that in Psalm 37, the action that the believer is to take is rather passive. In other words, fret not. That's not doing anything active. It's certainly exercising self-control, but other than that, it's in a sense passive. And delight yourself in the Lord, yes, except that it doesn't sound like a difficult thing. It sounds relatively easy, relatively. And of course, this psalm has to do with people who are in trouble. So it's not really easy, but delight yourself in the Lord. Refrain from anger. There we go again. It's sometimes more difficult than others. And then there is mention throughout, and I didn't read these things before, that there is an end to the trouble. The wicked, the evildoers, they will soon fade. Wait patiently for him. The evildoers shall be cut off. The meek shall inherit the land. The Lord laughs at the wicked because he sees that the wicked's day is coming. That is, that he will be removed from the scene of action. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the wicked will perish. The children of the wicked shall be cut off. Well, what Psalm 37 is advocating is that be patient, because the Lord is going to prevail. All right, now let's read a little bit from Psalm 119, and I've just selected four sections. The section that begins with verse 57, the one that begins with 73, the one that begins with 105, the one that begins with 161. Now, here is sort of a sampling of the reaction of the psalmist, the author of Psalm 119. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. I am a companion of all who fear you. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word. You begin to feel, at least, a difference between the approach in Psalm 37 and the approach in Psalm 119. Let the insolent be put to shame, because they have wronged me with falsehood. Let those who fear you turn to me, that they may know your testimonies. Do you have anything to say about the relative difference between the two? Does it make sense? That's all right. I have an advantage on you, but I want to see. Yes, John.
Psalm 37, as you said, it's somewhat passive. When I'm worried, if somebody says, stop worrying, it doesn't help a whole lot.
Say it again.
When I'm worried, and just be told, oh, stop worrying.
Yes.
It doesn't help.
It doesn't help quite as much, perhaps. Or when you're angry, and to be told, stop being angry.
Yes,
it feeds it.
That's only relatively helpful.
Yeah, but I appreciate what you just pointed out in Psalm 119. The psalmist instead turns to God's word. He turns to a positive action to take
yes.
in such times.
I'll continue to read a couple of samples here from Psalm 119. This is verse 109. I hold my life in my hand continually. That is to say, I'm in danger in this time. But I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Princes persecute me without cause. That's verse 161. But my heart stands in awe of your words. You see, there's an active approach to the psalm, the author of Psalm 119. He's not just saying, don't be bothered. He's saying, I'm under attack, and I'm calling on the Lord. And I'm telling the Lord, I'm staying with your law. I'm staying with hope in you. And I hope other people, faithful people, are seeing me and are feeling better about it. There is more of a deliberate approach. Now, there are a couple of things that can be compared here in in Psalm 37. In verse 32, there is a mention let's see Here, I'm sorry, it's verse 32 and 33. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death, but the Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Now, I don't know if that begins to click in your mind, being brought to trial. In Psalm 119, there is reference, several references, to the liars and those who have borne false witness and who have wronged me with falsehood. And they persecute me, even though, or maybe because, I hate and abhor falsehood. Now, according to the Mosaic law, a death penalty could be executed upon someone who was successfully brought to the authorities by two or three witnesses. Now, that's better than going by one witness, which is forbidden. The judges were not allowed to condemn someone only on the word of one witness. It took two or three. But even so, it would be very believable for the wicked to be active in ganging up on the innocent and preferring, that is, offering false charges against the innocent, two or three. And if they offered a bribe to the judge, that was also a step to doom the innocent. So the mention in Psalm 119 of, I hate falsehood, that is echoed maybe three or four other places. It comes up only once in Psalm 37. So what else could you think of that would be a vulnerability of the believers? Now, I'm speaking of something maybe that sounds wrong. The law is to protect the believers, to protect the covenant people. And yet, there is a way that they become more vulnerable because they become predictable. Suppose it's the Passover, and many of the Israelites would be making a trip from different parts of the country to Jerusalem. The pilgrims there, the ones going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, are away from their homes and they're vulnerable. And a good opportunity for criminals, the ones with the swords and the bows and arrows, to make an attack, because the righteous are known to be doing something. The same kind of vulnerability, if someone is known to, let's say, return someone's ox, maybe a case could be made against him that he was supposed to return two oxen. And so if the judge was willing to take a bribe, maybe a person could be defrauded of his property. That kind of thing. The criminal mind is always at work, isn't it? Trying to gain something that it doesn't really have a right to. And those who are on the straight and narrow trying to are really depending on the word of the Lord, but they're also putting themselves at risk in some ways. And they're tempted, we are tempted, to use some shortcuts of our own. That's the kind of issue that both Psalms deal with. But Psalm 119 has a more active attitude. Even though things are going terribly, the psalmist in 119 is saying, Lord, they're persecuting me, but I'm studying your law, and I rejoice in your law, and things are going terribly. Well, he says something more poetic sounding than that, of course. But teach me your law, because I love it. And that's the attitude of Psalm 119. Reflect on that. And now I see the time is closing in on us. And there's something else. Do you have any sense of the difference of kind of psalm that Psalm 37 is different from 119? Does that make any sense? If so, just shout it out. Yes.
So I think one very consistent distinction is that 37 is talking broadly.
Yes.
In the third person. Where 119 is almost exclusively first person and far more interactive. And so I think the distinction is at that level, aside from the fact that 119 is a whole lot longer, so you have a lot more to say. But the primary distinction being.
Yes, yes. Now let me put it in this way. Psalm 37 is giving good advice. Psalm 119 is teaching you how to pray. Now, good advice is good. That's why it's called good advice. But there are times when it's not very sympathetic. If you're hurting, if you're shamed, if you're in danger. Now, some kind of good advice, like, get out of that area. It's going to be burned in the next couple of minutes. You know, that's good advice that has immediate usefulness. But if you're in the kind of trouble that is not going to be solved quickly, and you're afraid and so forth, the approach of giving good advice seems heartless, or at least graceless. It's easy to give good advice if you're not in trouble. But to someone who's in trouble, what do you need to do? Of course, you'd like to solve it, but you can't always solve it. And you can't always talk your way out of it or into it. But in some fashion or other, you have to be the grace of God with a person who's helpless, in danger, afraid. I mean, if you're teaching your children, you give them lots of good advice, and you embed that good advice in rules. You know, we get up at 7 o'clock and we have breakfast and we wash our face and brush our teeth and get ready for school and blah, blah, blah. And it works. It makes sense. But when a child comes heartbroken because so-and-so is not my best friend anymore, or something like that, or the adult version of it, you better have something more than good advice. That's not the thing called for. It's love and grace, and you have to be in touch with the Lord to know whether you should just be silent, maybe give a hug, but don't do anything that sounds fake. And I think that Psalm 119 is a wonderful psalm to teach you how to pray and not to sound like a fake. Let's turn to Psalm 119 in the Psalter, 119N, and then after that, I'll close in prayer. Lord God, you are gracious, and we cannot stand before you without your grace upholding us. We need so much. Lord, lead us in your truth, in your grace, in the Spirit of Christ, the victor, who has made so much open to us. Help us, Lord, when we are afraid, when we are uncertain. Help us with your truth and your grace and the fellowship of your people. May we be glad to be with other believers, and may they be glad to be with us. And may we go with enthusiasm each day, even though we have burdens and fears and dangers and shames. Lead us, Lord. You are our God and our hope and our life. In Jesus' name, amen.